Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Red Circle, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Also, the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and turn the notifications on. Also, we want to mention our Discord. It's off the floor, but we've moved it to a better place. There's a lot more content than you used to get through our Winnow feed, and we're just getting started. We've already added five channels there. We got people chatting there all day long. You've got reports from me, Alex, Brady, and Greg that are coming in. Other contributors for the Five Reasons Sports Network are popping in and providing content and their opinions. We've even got outside the NBA stuff, inside the NBA stuff, fantasy gambling. It's all there. Check out the Discord, which means check out the Five Reasons Sports Twitter account, and I'll have it posted there as a pinned message. Also, check out Better Edge. That's our official gambling partner. This is legal sports betting. You don't have to wait for the state to get its act together. Go to betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. $20 to play. Our competitions are $10 or less. You do the math. You got a couple free ones in there. We do NFL. We do NBA. Check them out. BetterEdge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN. And get involved in social sports betting. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. Impact with trust. It's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick on Five Reasons Sports. We got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. So I mentioned the Discord off the floor. We're going straight to it today. We've got another bonus episode. You also can check out Floor's Yours. Noticing a theme here. That's with our guys Brian, Timmy, and Sean recording an episode. They went around the NBA and talked a little bit of Heat. That's on this podcast feed as well. But what we went to Discord for was we asked the fans who were chatting with us there for some of their best quick fix trade ideas. We've got a little internal debate here at the network. What gets fixed first, Alex's computer or the Miami Heat? So we want to fix both, but we're going to work on the Heat. The Heat, of course, as we're recording this, they play tonight against the Wizards in the first game of this ridiculous in-season tournament thing that they're doing or that the league is doing, and we'll see the court and all that. We'll have full coverage of the game. But take 15 minutes here, and we're going to go over some ideas that we think could help if the Heat decide not to wait until the trade deadline, don't wait for this to kind of fix itself, and see if they can upgrade the team and maybe create some buzz, some momentum, some something, because it's been an incredibly flat start to the season now, 1-4. Coming off what was a much more exciting offseason. So, Alex, let's get to some of these ideas here. And let's, I guess we start here. The core piece of most of these ideas is Kyle Lowry's contract, correct?
Yes. And not only because of, you know, everybody wanting to trade him, right? But because of kind of that contract that he has. As we've talked about before, he's an expiring deal at just under $30 million. So you can obviously kind of come up with different types of trades with a contract like that. And obviously this isn't going to be all about him, but he is the main piece in a lot of these.
All right, so let's get to some of them. And some of them we discussed over the summer. What's interesting is the ones we discussed, which were kind of like the backup plan we thought the Heat might have if the Dame stuff fell through after everything that happened with Beal. These ideas are still out there. Like, none of them that we talked about, like, none of those guys were traded. We talked about the Utah players, talked about the Detroit players, the Indiana players. They're all still there, actually, and we've got a Minnesota idea now as well. So I want to make this clear for your aggregators out there. We're not reporting anything. These are just suggestions. That's it. These are suggestions that might improve the balance of this roster, and again, give them a little bit of life. So give me one that you like. Maybe give me a new one that our followers on Off the Floor mentioned.
Okay, well, if you're talking about a new one, that's a little tough because a lot of these we've kind of talked about in the past few months. But this one actually came from our very own Leif Sylvander. I would never call him Greg. I can't.
Yeah, I recognize that name on Discord. I wasn't quite sure who it was, but yes.
But he's the one that suggested this, and I thought it kind of opened my eyes a little bit because when Leif makes these types of suggestions, I'm always thinking, what does that mean? And so the one that he suggested was Mike Conley and Kyle Anderson from the Timberwolves. And so you alluded to it earlier, and I think that's kind of an interesting but very, very unspectacular one. It's probably the least exciting one from the ones that we're going to get to. Not that any of these are like, superstar trades or anything like that, but I think it's an interesting one. One, because, you know, both of those guys, Conley and Kyle Anderson, are expiring contracts. Two, you know, the Timberwolves, ever since they acquired Gobert and did this whole thing where they kind of thought they were going all in, hasn't necessarily worked out that way. So it's something to monitor as the season goes on, because I don't think any of these trades we're going to go through would happen anytime soon. We know how the Heat operate when it comes to evaluating their team. We very much have literally not seen their entire rotation healthy at the same time. So it's going to be a while before I think they even look to or even think about making a trade like this. But it makes sense because you've got Conley and Anderson as expiring contracts. I mean, if you're doing it for Kyle and Caleb, then the money breaks even, completely even. So no team would be taking back more or less money there, and that may not require trading a first-round pick. And I think that's the thing that separates this one from the other ones we're going to go through, because I think all of the other trades will probably require some sort of draft capital, maybe a mix of draft capital for some of them. Whereas for if you're doing Kyle and Caleb, who are, again, functionally two expirings in the same way that Conley and Anderson are, you're breaking dead even in money. Like, that's really interesting. You might not have to throw in much more. And there you kind of shake things up. I don't know, but I think it might be good. You know, it might be good just to shake things up anyways with guys who make sense. I think Conley and Kyle Anderson make a lot of sense for the team. And even though this is maybe my least favorite idea, it just makes a whole lot of sense. Kyle Anderson as a four who can defend, hit an open three, make plays, which, you know, the Heat could use off the bench or as a starter, I think would be something interesting there. You get off of the Caleb thing where I don't want to see Caleb go, but, you know, that's if you think that you're not going to bring him back, if you're kind of projecting that he's going to be too much, this would be getting in front of it.
I kind of like this idea because you also preserve your draft capital if you want to do something else later on. But the biggest reason I like this idea is that even though they're 1 year apart, Mike Conley's better than Kyle Lowry right now. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers and I watched him play the other night too. He's kind of similar to the player he used to be. I know he used to rely on quickness more, but I mean, even in his tiny sample size, but he's averaging 12 points, 4 assists, shooting 51% from the floor, 40% from three this season. But the key thing is he actually is shooting the ball, which we know is something Kyle seems reluctant to do at times. And he's always been a good defender. Again, he's lost a step, no question, at 36. But I think they could put him out on the perimeter to guard the point of attack without having to switch so much, which is something they couldn't do with Lowry. Now, do I like Caleb better than Kyle Anderson for this team? I do. I think that Caleb, you know, providing that scoring punch off the bench, that Swiss Army knife, versatility, the growth that we saw last year. But I'm with you. I don't know what he's going to be priced at after this season. And, you know, the Heat are in kind of a weird position there because they need him to get back from this knee thing and be effective and provide what they don't really have on the bench right now. But if he provides it too well, he's going to be priced out of where they want to go. And so You know, Kyle Anderson, they call him slow-mo. Like, I mean, he's not going to improve their pace in any way, but that kind of fits in with the Heat system. And he's always been an intelligent player. I mean, he started out playing for Pop. He was a first-round pick with San Antonio. So I'll just say this. I don't hate it. I don't think it would excite a lot of Heat fans, particularly those who got attached to Caleb. But I also think that you could say if you got brought in Mike Conley, okay, he's your starting point guard. Like, I think people would be more comfortable with that right now than they are with Kyle. All right, before we get to the break, give me one more idea that's on there. And again, some of these are we've talked about them a little bit. Well, you know, let me see if I can find one here.
Do you want to go new or old?
Let's go a little newer here. What do we feel about how can they get Tyus Jones?
Oh, okay. Well, that I'm going to have to look up on the fly.
Greg's thrown him out there. A lot of people have thrown him out there, and he's here tonight with Washington, so I'm just curious.
That's a good one to bring up. I very much like that idea. Everybody knows what Tyus Jones can bring, and I think you're seeing it a lot already with the Grizzlies and how much they miss him in this time without Ja. And I think he's just he's a very good player. And if you're just talking about getting a starting point guard in here who isn't exactly spectacular but is very good at his job, that's kind of the face of it. And you know, the Heat have always loved the Duke guys. They drafted his college teammate who won the championship with him, Justice Winslow. So, you know, there's that history as well. And all of this is just to stall as I'm looking for his contract number here because I didn't have that one researched. I had like five other trade ideas researched, but not that one. Okay, so he is on a 1-year, $14 million deal. So you're gonna have to pair somebody else in there. You're gonna have to get back a second player. So if you were to throw in Gallinari, who's making $7 million on an expiring contract, and he's actually playing right now in their rotation, that still doesn't get you to Kyle's number. But I'm gonna, and again, this is just on the fly because this is not one of the research trade ideas I had here. But
you're hating me right now, but that's okay. Hey, you gotta think just on your feet. That's what we do here.
It's just not great. Well, I'm just trying to give the facts. That's the I got to look it up.
Greg threw it out here. So this is he had this one. Does this work? Duncan and Caleb for Tyus Jones, and you dump Lowry elsewhere. That I'm quoting David Lugo, by the way, here on Discord. I'm not. I don't like using the word dump to refer to players.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, not.
Greg had it at. He had it at Tyus Jones, Gallinari, and DeLon Wright equal Lowry salary.
Yeah, it's a lot of players. So obviously, if you can get back three players like that, like I would love to get back Tyus Jones and DeLon Wright specifically. I don't think Gallinari would be playing much. I think those guys would absolutely help, but it feels like a lot for the Wizards to give up. So you would definitely be having to throw in some draft capital there. I imagine it would have to be like two firsts, something like that. Right.
See, I don't know that I would go that far though. Let me get into what Tyus Jones is doing this season. By the way, I believe he has a relationship with Jimmy too.
That's right. Tyus Jones,
is averaging. He's 27. He's averaging a career high 12 points and 26 minutes, 51% from the floor, 37% from three on 4.8 attempts. It's the attempts I like.
And he doesn't turn the ball over. That's what he's known for.
Only his assist to turnover ratio last year was 5.2 to 0.9, so 5-1 assist to turnover, which is outstanding.
That's amazing.
And then this year it's 5.8 to 1.3. I mean, he is over his career, he's a 4 assist to 0.8 turn. I mean, he's a 4-1 to 5-1 assist to turnover guy. I mean, for people who don't understand how good that is, Tim Hardaway is in the Hall of Fame. Had a clause in his contract where he got a bonus if he hit 3-1, which he was always kind of teetering close to, but sometimes didn't end up getting it. So that's excellent. I really like the player. I don't know that I would give up two first round picks. I'm gonna let you marinate on the ones you researched, and you can bring them up here in a second after we go to one of our sponsors. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Football season is back, and you know what that means. Touchdown dances, Sunday tailgates, and epic fantasy showdowns. But fellas, let's not forget the real MVP of the season, introducing the all-new Beard Hedger Pro Kit by Manscaped, your ultimate luxury beard grooming experience. This kit is your secret weapon for staying sharp on and off the field. Don't fumble this opportunity. Head to manscaped.com and elevate your grooming game with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. You heard that right. 9 million men or 109 MetLife Stadiums. We shouldn't be talking about New York. So go to manscaped.com. It's not even New York, it's New Jersey. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with the code 5RSN. Again, 20% off and free shipping with the code 5RSN. Your grass is not artificial. Keep it shaved with Manscaped. All right, I'm going to let you go through your ideas here. And how about this? You throw them out. Some of these came from the Discord. Again, sign up for Off the Floor. And you've gone through these, and then I'll tell you if I like them or not. How about that? So we'll go the opposite direction.
Yeah, I like that idea better. And I'm going to try to just speed through a couple of these. And then after that, I'll give you the rest. So I want to shout out John Jablanka, our guy who's in the Discord as well, providing to the conversation. And he works for Heapy. He does great work on their website. I want to shout him out because he kind of put all these ideas together. And one that I thought was interesting that we used to bring up, I think, a little bit more last season was the Brooklyn Nets. And one that kind of works here is Kyle and Caleb, you know, with whatever draft capital you think is necessary for Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, I think the question there would be, how much would you be willing to throw in with the draft capital? Because I might not be willing to go over more than a first for that. But I think, bringing in a four like Dinwiddie, like Dorian Finney-Smith would be a really nice help for this team. The guy can defend at a really high level. He prides himself on doing all little things. He's got better size than some of their wings. And although, like, we all feel, like, great about Highsmith taking that role, you know, there wouldn't be anything wrong with having two of them, right? Now, the problem is you would have to figure out what to do with this contract in the same way that you would with Caleb. So maybe if you feel a little bit better about paying him than paying Caleb, then you do that. What do you think about that trade, Ethan?
I like it, actually. I would give up the first for it. I think Spencer Dinwiddie makes a big difference for this team, actually. It's not just play style, but it's also personality. He just seems like a good fit for them. And I think he'd fit in right away. Efficiency has been a bit of a problem for him over the years at times. And he doesn't take care of the ball like Tyus Jones does, who we just talked about. But he will go get buckets at times. And they need someone from that position who's a threat. We know they like Finney-Smith. They've always liked Finney-Smith. And so much of this does come down to what they're going to do with Caleb. And the worst case scenario here on the Caleb situation, again, is that he does play at a reasonably high level. But it doesn't get them anywhere, and then they end up not keeping him anyway. And if that's the case, they just can't be in that position. So I honestly, if you're talking about one protected first round pick, I would make that trade. I wouldn't go beyond that, but I would do it because.
Sorry, I threw something up there.
Personality fit with Jimmy.
I screwed something up there. I'm sorry. I was looking at so many different trade ideas. Dorian Finney-Smith is not an expiring contract. He is actually signed on for 3 years, just at right about 14 mil. So with that, you would be exchanging Caleb's, like, you know, what type of contract is he gonna demand versus the known quality of having Dorian locked up for the next 3 years for 14 mil, which is pretty good value.
When you look at the where the cap is gonna go and where the luxury tax is gonna go, to have a core rotation player, which is what Finney-Smith would be for this team, he would fit in ideally. 3 years at 14 each, I think you would pay that. And you know, with Caleb, as I keep saying, so much of it comes down to what his season is. But I thought before this year that he might be looking at maybe 3 years for 50. What did Dylan Brooks get? 3 years for 60, something along those lines. So
was it 80?
Or 4 years for 80, right? It was like $20 million a year. If you're talking about getting Finney-Smith at that price and knowing that you have him, I would
player option on the last deal.
Okay.
But I agree with you.
Finney-Smith, the third year.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, you still get the 2 years, 28 out of him. So I would be in favor of that. All right. Throw me the next one.
All right. So the next one that I've got here is one that I've personally hammered home for a long time. I know
which one.
You already know where I'm going with this, Ethan.
Yeah, the Detroit one. I like it.
Ever since Bojan Bogdanovic lit up the Heat for 31 points, I've just had hard eyes for him, man. I'm like, wow, that skill set would really help them. Just having an extra offensive weapon who can, you know, who can really, really shoot the ball at an elite level and could also get his own buckets, you know, however you want to play him in whatever, you know, starter role, or if you want to bring him off the bench and play him heavy minutes, however you want to work that out. I think Bojan Bogdanovic would be a huge addition for this team. And if you can work that out and also get a point guard like Monty Morris, I think that would be awesome for this team, considering he's still relatively young. So you would kind of have he would kind of be the Gabe replacement in that sense, because you would have somebody locked down who you feel good about. And I think it would be like a, you know, you kind of had that point guard situation resolved, because he's not going to be the one, like, he's not going to be running every pick and roll or anything like that. But he is that type of point guard that the Heat have employed before, who just kind of does the right things, you know, can defend a little bit, can shoot, can, you know, make the right pass. That feels very much like a Heat type of guard. And then the other name that you guys had heard a while back was Joe Harris, who also is on the Pistons now. The thing is, if you try to do like a trade with Kyle and Duncan for all three of those guys, the Heat would be taking back more money. So I don't think that would be a likely thing. I think they're trying to get away.
Yeah, it would be Detroit's preference to move Joe. The thing with Joe is, I know Joe a little bit just from covering his rookie season in Cleveland and beyond that. Joe really admires the Heat organization. I think in the past he would have been a perfect fit for the Heat. There were comparisons made of Strus to Joe Harris that I would hear in the Heat organization as they were developing Strus. But after the injuries, obviously he hasn't been quite as effective. But here's the thing. I want to go back to the Morris part of this, because we talk about Tyus Jones and how, you know, the assist to turnover, same career assist to turnover ratio as Tyus Jones. And at four to basically a little bit better than 4-1. And also, if you look at last year, it's funny because they replaced basically Monte Morris with Tyus Jones. And he's producing similar numbers. He produced similar numbers to what Tyus is producing now, but he's a career 39% 3-point shooter. It's not on high volume. It's 3 attempts per game, but he's been consistent with it. 41%, 38%, 38%, 40%, 38%. So you know what you're getting. He's a pretty good defender. And I mean, he definitely adds quickness that they don't necessarily have at that position right now. And you mentioned the youth. I think he's a really interesting player. Now, the thing with this is, and we really only have time for one more now, but the thing with this is, both these guys are hurt. Right. So, yep. I mean, you're talking about really waiting 2 or 3 weeks before either of them are back. And then you don't really know exactly when they're going to come back. I mean, Bogdanovich, I think, was supposed to be out 4 weeks and Morris 3 weeks. But I will say I like the idea. And I also can see the reason for, look, if you're Detroit, you just want to grab a pick here, right? I mean, that's it. I mean, you're in rebuilding yeah. mode.
Well, the other thing about this, too, is you can make a variation of this trade where actually Alec Burks would be the third guy. Now, whether Detroit is willing, you know, would be willing to just keep Harris and move Alec Burks, I don't know. But if you were to do Kyle and Duncan for Bogdanovich, Monty Morris, and Alec Burks, the Heat would actually get $7 million further away from the second apron. So obviously that would require some draft capital as well. So the question is, like, would you be okay with doing Kyle Duncan plus, I don't know, a first, a swap, and a second, or some combination of that? Like, because I think Bojan and Monty specifically can kind of get that if you're just kind of putting their values together. So that's one that I like a lot.
And I mean,
just
kind of you're talking about picking up two starters.
Yeah, Bogdanovich and Alec Burks is a rotation player right there too.
And I've always liked him too. He's had trouble staying in rotations, but he has, you know, I mean, he's a shooter I think they could work with. And he's not that old at this stage. So I will tell you that I would be willing to give up a little more draft capital. Look, it's all about this, okay? Are you trying to extend and save the Jimmy or not? And if you've just decided you can't compete, and you're going to let this run into more of a Bam and Tyler thing, then no, you don't trade the draft capital. You keep it to try to refresh around them. But if you're trying to make something happen during the Jimmy era, I think they would need to make a move like this. All right, we got time for one more, Alex. So give me your next best idea.
I'm just going to speed through them, and then you can kind of just, you know, tell me your thoughts on all of them. So the one that I've got here is one that we brought up before with the Pacers. Kyle Lowry for TJ McConnell and Buddy Hield. The Heat would actually be taking back a little bit less money there, about 1.8 mil. So it gets you just a little bit further away from a second apron, which is a good thing. Buddy Hield is an expiring, so that would be a big, big factor you would have to consider if you're going to be trading. But again, you would keep Caleb in this deal. So I don't know how that would work. Like, they obviously, we don't know that they're going to be paying Caleb. So you're going to have him and Buddy there, but that would strengthen you in the short term, I think, by a good amount if you're getting McConnell and Buddy Hield there. The other one that I was looking at was the one with the Jazz, where it's Colin Sexton and Kelly Olynyk. I think that would be a really interesting one. And the last one that was brought up.
Kyle, would that just be for Kyle in a first?
I believe so. I'm trying to pull that one up just because I have so many different ones.
I know that the Jazz were willing to move Sexton, and on good authority, they're willing to move Sexton and THT. But not as willing to move Kelly.
Yeah, so
how much would Kelly play for the Heat right now?
It's tough. That's why I don't think this one happens. I don't think the Heat I mean Sexton is signed on for 3 years, by the way, at 17 mil. So I don't see that. Kelly isn't expiring, so you would only have him for this season. Therefore, I don't really, even if it would work financially for them this season, I think the long term money might not work for them. I don't know how they feel about Sexton. You know, inside the front office. So I think this is probably the least likely one.
Well, Sexton's a different type of point guard than Jones or Morris. Like, you're getting a scoring threat, right? For sure. But he's not as efficient with the ball as those two guys are. So again, it depends what you're looking for.
It'd be a six man or that type of microwave scorer off the bench.
He would. And he would be live when he's on the court. They would have to coach certain things out of him. The one thing they wouldn't have to coach into him is he does get after it defensively. Like, he would fit that way for them, and they wouldn't have to worry about the point of attack there with him in there. So the Kelly idea made a lot of sense to me this offseason. As I've looked at the roster a little bit more, I don't think I would give up that much to bring him back. I know that there's some Heat players would like to bring him back. He was well-liked inside the organization, but I don't know that I would go too far on that one. I like the Detroit idea better, to be honest, but throw me one more.
I have the last one here, also brought up by our very own Leif Sylvander, the Chicago Bulls, and this is the closest one that you could actually consider a star trade. Kyle Lowry and Caleb Martin, and this is me filling in the deal at this point, but he suggested trading for DeMar DeRozan and Alex Caruso. And if you do Lowry and Caleb, it works financially. But not only that, the Heat would actually be, hold on. Well, it works financially. That's what I know for sure. I'm trying to get the money here, but the Heat would be taking on money. The Heat would be taking on a little bit more money this year, and I think they're doing everything they can to get out of the second apron. Would they get into it for DeRozan and Caruso? I think that would be, I don't know, like you might have to consider it. I think DeRozan would be kind of an awkward fit, but I think they could make it work. It would just be really doubling down on the mid-range stuff, which they're already number one in the league by a staggering amount. Caruso would obviously...
They could just eliminate the rim and the three-point line at this point and just have everybody crunched up in the middle.
No, they're already playing that way. They barely see the rim and the three-point line as it is, so we just doubling down on what you do offensively. But on defense, getting Alex Caruso there, like that would just be... I mean, he's a high-impact defender, can shoot the three a little bit. You don't want him doing anything with the ball, really, but, you know, a high-level role player for sure. And... you know, that's pretty much what it comes down to. Obviously, I would prefer Zach LaVine over DeRozan. I think LaVine would be a much cleaner fit. He gets to the rim a lot. He shoots it at a really high level from kind of just everywhere on the floor. And he makes more money though. So he makes 40 mil by himself, and it kind of goes concern, up.
My concern with Zach LaVine, now there's no question. There's higher upside there, but also you're talking about a guy who was a high flyer when he came into the league. He's developed the other parts of his offensive game. He's kind of a reluctant defender. Like, that's been an issue in Chicago, even though you would think he would have the skill set to do it consistently. And the knees concern me. You're going to be paying him that much money, and he's had knee issues consistently. They've dealt with that kind of thing before with Dwayne and others.
With DeRozan, it would be age. You know what I mean? So, like,
DeRozan, it's a few things. I mean, the irony of Lowry being traded for DeRozan is terrific. But look, it's a few things. It's the fact that DeMar is one of the best people in the league, okay? And I've always rooted for him, but he's never come through when it's mattered. I mean, he's kind of like the likable version of Harden in that sense. And you're right about the doubling down on, I mean, you're basically bringing in a guy who is Jimmy like in a lot of different, and I just don't know the places you're going to be occupying on the floor, and I don't know that he's got the athleticism at this stage to really turn it up defensively. Like, the defense with him has always been somewhat of a question too. That feels like the trade that Heat fans would want because it has the name in it. I like the Detroit trade, and I like the Washington trade potentially with Tyus Jones. To me, if you can get a point guard who takes care of the ball but also has a little get up to him, okay, doesn't have to be a high volume 3-point shooter, but will shoot the three. Like, to me, Tyus Jones and Monte Morris are fits. Like, they're fits with this group. Yeah, I like Caruso too, but it's just, again, what that deal is going to cost you. So I think that it, to me, and again, depends what you're going to give up, but the Detroit and Washington idea is the most interesting. The Utah idea, I don't know if Sexton's going to be a fit for what they do. And I the KO part, I don't know that he upgrades them that much at this stage. KO is not a good rebounder. He does other things well. He's a positional defender, but he's not going to elevate you that way. They had to protect him at times.
The other thing with the Detroit one, because I know we have to wrap up, is that Bojan only has $2 million guaranteed through next season. If you were to cut him before, there's a date in July there where that becomes guaranteed, the rest of the contract becomes guaranteed. So if they wanted to just rent Bojan, they could do that with that trade. Obviously, it'd be very risky if you're trading draft capital, but you could theoretically just bring on and just decide who you get to keep, because Bojan only has the one more year, and you can just pay him the $2 million and cut bait if you want to. Huge infusion of offensive talent there, I think.
Yeah, no, it's you want to talk about quick fixes, then that becomes a quick fix. And we'll see. And these teams have to be willing to do it. And a lot of these guys we talked about, Hield, Bogdanovich, we talked about them as trade candidates in the offseason, the Utah, and nothing happened yet. So
it depends on what they are willing to give up. Like, how much draft capital do we think they're willing to give up for some of these trades?
Alex, it depends what they think of this season. Do they think they can save this season from within, which they very may well think, or do they think that this season doesn't need to be saved at all and just let it play out? And we'll see. We do want to thank our sponsors, Manscaped. Use that code 5RSN, get you 20% off. Better Edge, wow, it's convenient. 5RSN, get you $20 to play. I was trying to save your computer. We went 32 minutes. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.